Some men have periods.
No, they don't.
Just hockey players. Dad joke from the third row.
Jay's starting us off low, and we can only get better.
That's right.
And joining us tonight, today, whenever you're listening to this, is our friend Hayden.
Hello, good evening. Hello, good evening.
Other than his, you know, just general all around usefulness to the show, we invited Hayden to talk about the peculiar.
Doesn't sound nice. Usefulness.
He is useful.
That's not nice. Yes, but that doesn't sound like we just like you to have you around because you're useful, Hayden.
Damned with faint praise.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, we like him, right? And he's a friend, but if he wasn't useful, he wouldn't be on.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
So, you know.
I'm trying to make it better, but it just, Alan, you just keep on fucking it up, but okay.
That is precious bodily fluids. I don't know.
Anyway, we invited him on to talk about the peculiar British custom of Boxing Day.
Right.
And well, I had always thought that Boxing Day was like, you know, the day you put stuff in boxes. Like, okay, Christmas is over.
That's what happened to Amy.
Put stuff in boxes. Yeah, the cat got in the box, you know. But that's not it at all.
No. No, and it's also absolutely nothing to do with the sport of boxing.
Really?
Nothing whatsoever.
Which it should be.
Marquis de Queensbury rules.
Yes. Although, if you know, dinner with in-laws, but that's the day before.
Nice.
This week, I got asked by an American co-worker if it was called Boxing Day because the British love of the dog breed, you know, the boxer dog breed.
Hmm.
Oh, that's a new one for me.
Yes, absolutely. And I obviously, you know, promptly made a mental note to put a, you know, little comment in their HR file of not suitable for promotion for the next 6 months.
Oh,
tough crowd.
Oh, man. Hey, tough crowd, I got to tell you.
See, that's what happens when you're not useful.
Hey, get notes in your HR file.
Yeah.
Yes. So what it is.
All right, who's rapping?
I'm so sorry. I will be right back.
Uh-oh.
Is
it a cat?
Yeah. He's decided that now is the time to rip up the paper.
Yes.
Well, of course.
I was close.
Okay. I'll be right back. Carry on.
Okay. Catus interrupt us.
Yes.
So,
Boxing Day.
Boxing Day. It's nothing to do with Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson, anything like that.
No, nothing. Nor the Marquess de Queensbury rules, nor dogs with incredibly short tails.
What about BMW motorcycle engines?
Or Porsche.
That would be German.
Yeah. No, it has nothing to do with those neither. Well, so what it does have... Jay, sorry, Jay, I interrupted.
No, I don't know. I was setting it up for you to explain to us.
Ah. It comes from Victorian England, where you would still have staff, and if to put your mind in a position, Downton Abbey, you know, where you have your your staff that, you know, still sort of, you know, wait on you. Well, Christmas Day for the owners of the house or the owners of the estate is always going to be a busy day. It's always going to be, you know, you're always going to have guests or family. And therefore, your staff are going to be working incredibly hard, either for your, you know, working on your guests or, you know, and, you know, entertaining or just keeping, you know, keeping the Christmas day going, moving along.
Bring me another glass, Boggs.
There you have it. There you have it. So Boxing Day, obviously the day after, the 26th, was the day that you gave your staff off because they had worked so hard the day before.
Mm.
And as well as giving the day off, the owners of the estate or the owners of the house would give their staff a small box with a gift inside.
Uh-huh.
So Boxing Day comes from that tradition of the day after Christmas, everyone gets a small, you exchange small gifts. Now, what exists now in England is that it's a national holiday, and a lot of families often give small presents to each other on the day before. You would have given you would have given your child the bicycle, or you would have given your wife a nice necklace or something like that. So Boxing Day, you'd give your child, a small little Lego set, or your wife, some earrings, or, as a man, you may receive a pair of socks. It's just a little something. It really is. And it's meant to be, just a small gift. And whilst in America, we have Black Friday.
Yeah.
In England, we have the Christmas Boxing Day sales.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense because, after Christmas sales are usually pretty...
Uh-oh, we lost Brita.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just me.
No.
I thought it was
having... She cut out completely.
Am I still here?
Yeah, nope. you were gone for a second.
Whoa, that was weird.
Thank you, Skype. May we have another?
Sorry.
Yeah. So, Brita, you were saying that made sense?
Well, I said it makes sense because after Christmas sales are always really good, even here. You know, it's like notoriously, like all this, it all goes on sale after Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we're having like cat. I'm not sure what's going on in my house right now.
That's just, added value for the listeners.
That's right.
You get extra cat on this episode.
He's decided he wants to act out today. So, I didn't know that about Boxing Day in England. I knew it was a thing, and I knew that it was the day after Christmas, but I didn't realize it had anything to do with, like, your servants.
I always thought it was about punching your servants.
No.
With a boxing dog, I guess. A boxer dog. Yeah.
Yes. Well, a dog with a small tail watches.
Yes.
Get everything, covering all of our bases.
Well,
Jeeves in a chair, slap his wedding tackle in between two fluffy bread slices, and shout at the boxer dog, "Sausages!"
Wow, that was creative.
There's been a lot of thought put into this.
Of course, in the U.S., they try to make it that faux holiday, Kwanzaa.
Oh, well, yeah.
Wasn't that started by a guy who murdered his girlfriend?
Yes.
Or was that Earth Day? Or maybe
that was Earth Day. Yeah, that was Earth Day. Yeah.
It was one of those
ridiculous. It was Earth Day. That was, yeah, it was, what was his name? Something Einhorn. He changed his name to something Einhorn.
Ironborn?
Getting murdered. Buried her in the,
yes,
closet or something for or something. 20 years. I don't know.
Oh. He was just really, really into recycling.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. Now, the day after Christmas in Ireland is different than in England. Okay, Bubba. Okay, I know. Relax. Go find your father. Okay. I'm sorry.
Although I will point out, sorry, Brita, just one quick thing. We were on the right page. The guy that invented Kwanzaa actually was sent to prison for a felonious assault.
Oh, there you go. Okay, it must be a thing now.
Yeah,
you
know, he tortured.
Invent a holiday, attack your girlfriend.
He and another man tortured a couple of women and, you know, stripped and beaten with electrical cord and all that fun stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. Hey, people pay extra for that.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Wow. So, yeah. So, creators of faux holidays are, in general, not good people.
Not good people. Right.
Anyway, go on with, you were going to tell us about the Ireland.
The day after Christmas in Ireland is St. Stephen's Day. And it is a completely different tradition than Boxing Day. Probably because the Irish traditionally didn't have servants.
Or they were the servants.
We were the servants. Yeah. Yeah, we had St. Stephen's Day. And I learned about this from my dad growing up because they used to, when he was a boy, they used to do it in, you know, in his town, and all, like, a bunch of kids would, I know, your life is terrible. Sorry.
No, it's great.
I just hang up. I'm so sorry.
No, we like Tig.
Yeah, I do too, but he's.
We should have a Tig segment.
You know, he's being problematic today. So my father and his little cohorts, like when they were little boys, would get dressed up and they would like put on kind of costumes and go around the town collecting money. They would like, you know, knock on every door and they would sing a song about the wren, a bird called the wren. And the song starts, the wren, the king of all birds. And traditionally, like in ages past, the boys would go out into the field and they would capture a wren and they'd kill the wren and they would attach it to a holly bush and they would take the holly bush around and ask for money for the funeral for the wren. And it's yet another like Irish custom that is so pagan that, you know, they try to match it up with St. Stephen just to like give it like kind of a make it kind of kosher. So I don't know if my father went around killing birds. He didn't tell me that part. But so they would go around town asking for pennies for the poor wren who is the king of all birds. And they dress up, and in some towns there are what are referred to as the wren boys, and they have these like costumes that they create out of straw, and they look like kind of walking straw men. I don't know. And that was the tradition the day after Christmas, and they still do it. They still have like parades and St. Stephen Days, that, you know, activities and stuff. I hope they don't go around killing birds.
They have cats for that.
They have cats for that, but what?
I'm curious. Mm-hmm. If they were to set up a bunch of tents and have exhibits, would that be a wren fair?
Oh, yeah. God, Jay.
Jay, that was just terrible.
Yes!
Terrible.
It sounds remarkably similar to the Guy Fawkes.
Yes.
Yes.
Of the penny for the guy.
Yes, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like that. So that's a tradition in Ireland.
The guy.
Penny for the Guy.
Penny for the Guy. Is that the British version of the dude?
Guy Fawkes. The guy. You know.
Guy Fawkes.
I know.
Beaver.
I don't get it.
Don't make me explain it to you.
Guy Fawkes Abides?
Yeah.
Is that what you
Yeah, did? Exactly, Jay.
Oh, boy.
It ties
the guy, yeah. The guy abides.
Don't get the reference.
Don't worry, Hayden. It's
a Big Lebowski thing.
Hayden has never seen the Big Lebowski.
Oh my Hayden.
Sorry.
This is a thing you should probably do, Hayden.
Yes.
The Big Lebowski is quality entertainment.
I have seen the Office Space movie.
with the printer?
With the printer, yes. I've seen that. Do I get any cool points for
Absolutely.
Yeah, Office Space is
absolutely
definitely good.
A classic.
There is one other notable thing about Boxing Day in England.
Okay.
And that is that the television commercials the day after Christmas are the airtime is incredibly cheap. And so you get all sorts of ridiculous television commercials, you know, like badly made commercials for your local gymnasium, your local, you know, sports clubs, or, subscriptions to, you know, websites that, you know, how on earth would they even be able to afford a national television commercial, let alone.
That's funny. We get that in the form of cable. There's like 9 million channels and all of a sudden it'll be like the local plumbing establishment, and they've got like a jingle that's sung by like the owner's kid, and it's like, what possessed you to think this was going to draw people to your business? I want to throw rocks at your vans now.
So is that similar? Because there's so many channels, the signal to noise ratio, just, you know, I don't get to really sort of, you know, detect if the commercials change enough.
I don't watch commercial TV. I couldn't say.
Yeah, I catch them because I watch episodes of The Simpsons.
Sports.
And no, I don't do sports, but I watch The Simpsons and BattleBots when I'm running on the treadmill in the basement. So it's you know, an on-demand thing, and they throw in the horrible local commercials every 8 seconds. So I hear them all.
Over Christmas period, my wife has been intellectually roofying herself by watching the Hallmark Channel.
Oh no. I heard.
Aww, that's kind of cute,
an interesting
though.
Statistic that since I keep wanting to say 1910. I think it's that movie that's playing in my brain. Since 2010, the Hallmark Channel has made like 150 Christmas movies, and they play them like nonstop during this time of year. And they all have the exact same plot.
Oh yeah.
They're basically like romance.
The Black Sheep.
Right?
The what is it? The high powered executive guy goes to or somehow gets trapped or stuck in a small town.
Yes.
Or the reverse of that is the more recent version of that is the high powered executive female.
Yes.
gets trapped in the small town, and the local handsome guy, or, you know, local hot woman, shows him the error of the big city ways and how wonderful small town is, and, you know, they live happily ever after.
The Doc Holliday is what you're getting at.
Yeah.
Nobody catches the Michael J.
I'm ignoring it now, Jay.
the alternative title was Shake and Bake, but
Oh.
Anyway, Hayden, you were
sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we distracted Hayden from his story.
and the other part of Alan is that, you know, is that when this, you know, high flying, you know, executive man or woman gets trapped in this, you know, small town. It then starts snowing. They kiss, and there's also a dog.
Right.
it's
a bit
like
with the dog.
Yeah.
It's like you write them.
they all have the exact same, or a small child. There's sometimes it's a dog or a small child. One of the two.
Hayden, okay, I have to ask. Because there are a number of films that are not, and I'm talking Hallmark films excluded. There are a number of American films, like classic Christmas American films.
Die Hard.
Not Die Hard, Alan.
Lethal Weapon.
No.
Lethal Weapon's not a Christmas movie.
Of course it is.
I know what you're talking about, Rita. You're talking like It's a Wonderful Life kind of thing.
Anything.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if Hayden has seen any of them, and which one does he like?
I've seen, and I like the National Lampoon Christmas.
Oh, there's a classic. Okay.
Dinner's full.
Is that, yes.
That's not what I expected, but okay.
One of my favorites.
Yes, it's... And I only just realized that the kid in that movie then became on something on the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, one of the, Leonard.
Yes.
And the daughter, Juliet Lewis.
Oh
wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
I watched it this year and I was like, man. Audrey looked at the actress playing Audrey looks really familiar. So off to IMDb and I was like, oh my God, that's Juliet Lewis. and the neighbor, Julia Louise Dreyfus.
Whoa.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, of course, you know, Randy Quaid's cousin Eddie, but that was no surprise. And it's like, well, another Christmas movie, Home Alone, which technically isn't an 80s movie, but it's they're both on that same cusp. I think Christmas Vacation was 89, Home Alone was 90. So you get that you're still, you got the 80s shoulder pads and the off hair. And,
well, 90 is technically the last year of the 80s. So
yes, thank you, Professor Science. Because there's no year zero, man.
That's right, damn it.
So you were partying like hell in December 31st, 2000, weren't you, Alan? Like, oh, new millennium. Everyone else is giving you the side eye. Like, what's this guy talking about?
I watched that movie a couple of days ago. It was on, and I don't know about yourself, but the first thought that went through my head was, what on earth did the father do as a profession in order to be able to afford that house?
Yeah.
Well, that's always question.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a Hollywood problem.
Yep. Like anytime there's a city and the main characters have an apartment. You know, Seinfeld, perfect example. You know, they're in New York City, downtown New York City, and this is like a three or four bedroom apartment with a ton of space and a full kitchen. And I'm like, that's, I don't know, $8,000 or $9,000 a month right there. Seinfeld might have been able to afford it, but nobody else could have.
Probably Friends would be the same.
Yeah, yes, Friends, exactly the same.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, we're right off of some park, but...
Yeah.
Hayden, have you seen A Christmas Story? The Christmas Story movie?
No, I haven't.
Well...
What's the plot of that?
What?
No,
it's
I'm sorry.
It's the little boy in the 50s. You'll shoot your eye out with the BB gun.
Ralph.
Oh, yes, I know of it, but I haven't seen it. And there's something about a lamp, a leg.
Yes. Yeah.
Some major.
Oh my gosh.
It's fragile.
We need to. Okay. Well, you do know that you can visit the actual Christmas Story house in Cleveland, correct?
Yes, I do know that.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you need to watch the movie, and then we need to visit the house.
Okay. Is it any good? Is the movie any good?
It is actually pretty good.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
It is a Christmas classic. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Also made in the '80s.
Yes. Yeah.
Early.
Gene Shepherd, I believe, is the playwright. There is a sequel. It is horrible. Yes. Don't waste your time.
I have never heard of a sequel.
Just don't. It's still bad.
It makes the Star Wars Christmas movie look good.
Yeah, pretty much. Now I
bought Mike a BB gun for Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome.
A Red Ryder BB gun.
I bought one for my son.
Because I was at Walmart and I couldn't pass up like the cool retro packaging. And so I wrapped it up a couple days before Christmas and I put it behind the bookcase. And so Christmas morning comes around and we're having coffee and opening gifts and kind of sitting around. And I said to him, I was like, hey, I think I see like another gift there behind the bookcase.
Oh, that's awesome.
And immediately he says, did you get me a BB gun? He was so excited. He knew immediately.
Was he slipping like ads into your magazine so you could
He had no idea. It was a surprise. So it was funny.
Was it last year you got him a machete?
Yes.
Best life ever.
I wanted to get him a lock picking set, like a kit, you know, to learn how to do lock picking.
I have one of those.
It is illegal in Ohio.
Really?
Yeah.
I
decided to kind of err on the side of caution. I mean, it's illegal in a, you know, in so much as like they could say that it's a criminal tool, blah blah. So I was like, you know, he doesn't need to pick locks really.
Just kick the door.
But if you try to buy a BB gun at Walmart in Ohio, you have to get, it's a restricted item. They have to check you.
That's funny.
It was very strange. I didn't expect it at all. I just figured, it's a BB gun.
Yeah, it's a toy, basically.
But no.
I wonder if Nerf guns are restricted.
You put your eye out.
Nerf guns are not restricted because I bought one of those also this year.
Well, you can damn sure put your eye out with a Nerf gun.
Probably.
If you try hard.
Mm-hmm. And get the angles exactly right.
Brita had a great new show idea.
Well, first of all, I had two great ideas this week. I just want to mention, you know, toot my own horn a little bit. But I had two great ideas because number one, on Facebook, they have this new thing now where if you are in a group, you can do a watch party for videos. And what happens is if you go into your group, like I went into this SQRPT group, and I started a watch party. And what happens is that everybody in the group gets a notification to come join the watch party. And you can stream videos and everybody can watch the same video at the same time. And there's a live chat. So you can chat with everybody else in the group who's watching. I started a watch party of Firefly because everybody loves that show. And Hayden, I hope you've seen it.
I've seen the movie.
Okay. Anyway, so we watched season one, episode one, but there's only one season. We watched episode one of Firefly last Sunday evening, and it was really fun, and I think it worked.
It was fun.
And a lot of people joined us in the watch party, and it was cool. And there's not a whole lot of shows available on Facebook right now. There's like Firefly, Buffy, and Angel, Joss Whedon shows. I don't know why those three, but I'm hoping that in the future there's more. Yeah, that would be cool.
No, but me too.
What?
Joss Whedon. Me too.
That guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, so right now we're watching Firefly, and I'm hoping like maybe we can do it every Sunday evening. I just kind of started it because it was that time right before Christmas, and I had the day off, and I was kind of bored. All my presents were wrapped, and I said, let's see what everybody's doing. And a lot of people joined us, and hung out on the watch party. What time did I do it? 9 p.m.
Yes.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. 8 yeah. Texas time.
So if you're in the Squirrel Port group,
and a great time was had by all.
It was good. Yeah. And then I had another idea this week that Helen was going to talk about.
Another awesome idea.
Don't cut your toenails with a machete.
Don't do that.
No, Brita thought it would be a good idea to do a post a thing for a Q&A on the Facebook Score Report group, so people could ask questions that we would answer during the show.
Do we get any good questions this week?
We have some questions.
Okay.
I'll ignore the stupid ones.
I'll just say
right now, without calling out names, if I don't read your question, it's because it was stupid.
No, that's not why.
Yeah, it is.
It might be why.
Well, okay. Do you really want to answer why? What is the airspeed velocity of a laden swallow?
No.
Okay.
And that's just a number of reasons.
Right. That was a stupid question.
Money Python.
Also, somebody else asked about recommendations for binge watching Netflix and Prime, and that's kind of like recommending a book. I mean, it's like how do you recommend something when you don't know
the taste? Well, I'm going to recommend something.
Okay.
The Last Kingdom.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yes.
Which is going to get a fourth season now.
Yes. Yay. I liked it.
Travelers is also good if you haven't seen it.
Anyway, go on, Alan. What's a question we should answer?
Well, there's several ones. Okay, there was one for Brita. What's your favorite knife?
What is the purpose of the knife?
It just says, what's your favorite knife? So of all the knives you have in the kitchen, in your pocket, wherever, which one's your favorite?
Okay. Okay, in the kitchen, because I often do recipes, I will highly recommend a Santoku.
Oh, yes, yes.
And the reason why I recommend a Santoku is because you can use it literally for everything. I'm a big fan of it, and get a good one that keeps its edge. You know, don't go to Walmart and get a crappy one. Go get a good one. Look for sales. But a Santoku is really handy. It's not so good for like a little paring knife. Although I have a little Santoku that's good as a paring knife. Like, you know, it's about maybe 3-4 inches long. But for some reason, the Japanese have it down for knives.
They're good at chopping.
They really are.
And slicing and dicing.
The Santoku is good for slicing, is good for chopping. I just got a new Santoku for Christmas. And it's like a seven inch blade, and the blade is a little bit curved, so you can do kind of a rocking chopping motion. I haven't tested it out yet, but I used it to cut meat today. It was perfect. So I highly recommend a Santoku. I have a bunch of knives. I have a bunch of knives in the kitchen. I have chef's knives. I have a Chinese cleaver. I have paring knives, but the knife I reach for 99% of the time is a Santoku. So and for a pocket knife, I really like assisted open with a thumb stud.
Well, I wasn't, the question didn't, was the question delivered just for you or for?
For me, but if you have a suggestion,
yeah,
go right ahead.
Everybody can, we'll open it up to everyone. If you have a favorite knife, we'd sure like to hear it.
Yes.
So my favorite knife in the kitchen is a good old fashioned cleaver.
Okay.
And I like it because you can get a good whack with it and then sort of use it to scoop up what you've just given a good whack to. So an onion, for example.
Oh, okay. Or garlic. Yeah.
Or garlic. And I recently bought my wife a couple of knives from a place in Dover, Ohio, called Warther, W-A-R-T-H-E-R, cutlery.
Okay.
And they have a sort of a very sort of, they've got a wooden handle and a very sort of distinctive blade that has sort of got squirrels on.
They have squirrels on the blade?
Swirls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Circles. Yes. You know. And it has
squirrels,
a
squirrels.
Sort of,
I was like, well, we all need those now.
Well, we all need those now. and if you hold it to the light, it's sort of the each circle, each squirrel, sort of has its own sort of reflects on its own, so it's sort of slightly mesmerizing.
Cool.
And I have two knives that I like. I think my favorite is as a French Opinel knife.
Yes, those are so nice too. They're very handy for like everything, and they fold up, which is nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another one is I have a Kershaw Leek, and it's got this sort of multicolored rainbow color on it.
I have the same knife.
You have the same knife, yes, and nail polish, and also nail polish,
nail polish, and jewelry, and everything matches my knife. Yeah, I want that pistol. I'm still looking at that pistol.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Exactly the one you're talking about too.
Yeah, the one with the rainbow finish.
Sig P238.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dork.
Jay, what is your pocket carry for a knife?
I actually have a Benchmade Amicus.
Nice.
It's got it's assisted opening with a flipper. It's just very sleek and it's sturdy as hell. And it's not a liner lock. It has they call it the Axis system.
Yes.
It's a little slider on the side for folding it up. And I hate liner locks because I cut myself like once a week with a liner lock. Because you push it in, and then you have to pretty much fold the blade while your finger is across with the blade.
Yeah, that's true. Auto
design. And fuck out. God damn it. Although, I do have to admit to an absolutely irrational, nostalgic fondness for the Ballast Song. Butterfly Knife.
Jesus, Jay.
Butterfly Knives? I was about to say. Guy.
Oh my God. It's I am, you know, Big Trouble in Little China. We just recently got one in from a new company. They sent them in. And I amazed the millennial in the office because I'm just spinning it around and flipping it around and I'm like, I'm just amazed that, you know, something I practiced a million hours as a teenager is actually coming in handy. It was the most surreal moment of my life. I'm like, I'm a grown man getting paid to play with a Ballast Song. I'm done. You know, it's like hitting the bullseye at 100 yards. Like
12-year-old Jay is vindicated.
I'm just that's it. I was not, in fact, wasting my life. Thank you very much. I'm like, all I need now is a throwing star, and I'm just done.
We used to make those in metal shop.
Oh yeah, kids, talk to your parents about what a typewriter is, because the typewriter ribbon would come on a spool, and those would make really awesome butterfly knives. Not butterfly knives. Throwing stars.
Really?
Yes. They were metal, and they were already round, and all you needed to do was cut little points into them and sharpen them.
Because contrary to the beliefs of the government of England, you cannot outlaw sharpened metal pieces.
Yes.
It's futile.
Oh, yes. You're gonna get me on going on a rant.
Ooh, Hayden rant.
Yeah.
Drink.
I mean, the drink. your garden rake is now classed as a thing.
That's insane.
what was it they were so proud of, one of the knife turn-ins? It was a whisk? Or no,
what?
No. It was labeled as a must be 18 to buy, and it was a whisk.
A whisk.
What are you gonna do? Whisk me to death?
It's apparently they're afraid you're gonna like make them a lot of really fatty omelets and give them heart disease. It could make you a cake and give you diabetes.
Oh my god. A whisk.
A whisk.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, oh boy.
Ridiculous. It's just
one of these days we're gonna go over there with a board with a nail in it and conquer them.
I think so. And we should. No offense, Hayden.
Won't even need a nail.
Hayden rule the place. They got a big palace and everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's make Hayden king. We could do it.
King Hayden the First.
There you go.
I quite like that.
He'd be a benevolent dictator.
Yes. Shut up, peasants.
Ah, King Hayden, the peasants are revolting.
Infamy.
Oh boy.
They've all got it in for me.
Oh boy.
Oh no, we've created a monster.
It's like when you buy a lottery ticket and before you as you're walking home, they've not even announced the results and you're already mentally spending the money.
Oh heck yeah. Actually, Mike says that's basically what most people spend their lottery money on, is that you're spending the money on the fantasy.
Yeah.
So you buy a ticket for a couple bucks and you spend, the rest of the time until they announce the numbers, like creating this fantasy.
Yeah. Well, you're basically Schrodinger's millionaire.
Yeah. You totally are.
You know, it's like you could, because you know the odds are against it, but you could.
It's because somebody has to win.
No. It
could be that in 500 million or whatever. I just, you get that, it's the buck for escapism. Yep. You know, you think, wow, what I would do with $500 million.
You spend a whole lot more than that for a lot less, for a lot worse. You know, how many movies you spend 14 bucks on that sucks? And you're like, ugh.
Joe versus Volcano.
Edward Scissorhands.
As long as your retirement plan isn't lottery tickets, that's probably not a bad pastime. And as long as you limit to like one ticket, because, in case people haven't realized it, buying two tickets does not appreciably increase your odds.
No, it does not.
They are not doubled at all.
It's practically guaranteed at this point. Oh, yeah, it doesn't work that way, folks. I hate to break it to you.
I do have a master plan for when I win the lottery, though.
Right?
It is like my plan. And
disappear?
Well, aside from disappearing, but...
Buy all the knives?
Buy all the knives. And I have promised, and we've... My friend Monica, who's my manager now at the reference desk, but we've worked together for, like, she's been at the library as long as I have, so a really long time, and we've kind of made a pact that if one of us wins the lottery, we will give the other one, like, at least $1 million.
Okay.
So that we can both quit on the same day.
Because neither, like, one of you want to be stuck there alone.
Exactly. That's exactly why. We'll both walk out and be like, see ya, suckas. Like, not even 2 weeks notice, nothing. Just walk out. So that's the plan. And as a joke, every time she's had two children, during the time that we've worked together. And every time she has a baby, I give her a card with lottery tickets in it.
Nice.
So, yeah. But, I'm still at the library.
If suddenly you notice that it's been a while since Brita's been on Facebook and she hadn't been on our show in a while. Gee, I wonder what happened. She probably won the lottery.
Or I'm dead. One of the other.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
What were the other questions?
Yeah, what were the other questions?
Do we need to hear Alan's knife?
Oh, good Lord.
I know it's a K-bar because Marine.
Actually, no. I mean, I have a K-bar. It's not one of my favorites, though.
You can't really carry that in your pocket.
No, but I can't carry it on my belt because Texas recently rationalized their knife laws. Everything is now legal. Thank God. You can walk down the street carrying a sword.
You should do it.
I actually recently, I've been looking for a good Bowie knife. And I finally got, I've had one sitting in my Amazon shopping cart for a while now. And you know how they, you know, every once in a while they'll send you a notice that's like, well, this one's not bad. You know, every once in a while they'll do like a price drop or something. So anyway, I've had this Cold Steel Trailmaster.
Cold Steel.
Yeah.
Buck Medley.
Yep. Nine and a half inch blade. 01 steel.
18 cents.
It's you know, it is what a Bowie knife is good for. If I screw it up somehow, I won't cry. So I finally got that, and now I have a Bowie knife, because until they fixed the knife laws in Texas, it was technically illegal to walk down the street with a Bowie knife outside of your house. Huh. Illegal in Texas to carry a Bowie knife. That was screwed up. So they fixed that. You can now carry a Bowie knife, or a sword, or, you know, anything else you want.
But a sharpened rake.
Yes, a sharpened rake or a whisk. You know, take your pick. My carry currently is a Benchmade Presidio 2 automatic. It also has the axis lock. I love the axis lock on the Benchmade knives. But Texas also got rid of the stupid ban on switchblades, so I have an automatic now.
Did you just demonstrate it?
I did.
I heard it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, and it was funny because I had to go when I was in Ohio recently, I had to take one of my old assisted openers because they are not legal yet in Ohio. But
no.
Knife Rights is working on that. If you got some spare change, give it to Knife Rights because they're doing good work. And I guess my favorite kitchen knife, if I had to pick one, would be an Opinel that I keep for like cutting up apples and stuff like that. It is my go-to utility knife in the kitchen.
A little bit of life advice is if you're invited to a dinner party, never sit next to anyone who's wearing a dress sword for the very first time.
No ceremonial blades. No ceremonial blade virgins is what you're saying.
Right.
Whoops.
All right.
So we have more questions. This is actually okay. Turning out pretty good.
Okay.
Good idea, Brita.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Brita's just was question number two.
There was
when are you getting a leg with a shotgun built in?
Yeah.
When they make very, very tiny little shotguns.
Yeah. It would definitely be a sawed off shotgun.
It would be like a pocket shotgun.
Well, now that they've got the shockwave.
Still too long.
Still too long.
It'd have to be like Taurus Judge sized.
Oh God. Well, at least they've got the winner. I think you've offended Brita.
No, I'm just trying to think of like, I should probably measure that area and see what gun would actually fit in there. Because people have frequently been like, oh, shotgun leg or machine gun leg or pistol leg. And I'm like, and knowing my leg, like what gun would fit in the size that is available?
It's like four
inches. And I really think it's like, it's very small. Yeah. So like a little.
The rainbow scale SIG. There you go.
No, I think even that's too big.
Mm-hmm. Really? Wow. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to measure it and figure out. Like, what are those little shitty guns that I hate?
Cobra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the one. And what's the one with the thing with the finger? Yeah.
Yeah, it was a Cobra.
the little thing.
The one that bruised your finger, yeah.
It's still like about that size. It's very little. I'm a small person, and I don't, you know, I'm not missing much of my leg, so. Shotgun will fit in there. Let's just put it right there.
Will not.
That's not happening.
Yep.
As my son would say, ain't happening, chief.
No.
Somebody asked, what is your favorite free time activity? And it's like, that made me think on several levels. It's like, my favorite free time activity that I could actually do, or my favorite free time activity that I would like to be able to do if I could. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Both.
Like, theoretically, if you had free time.
Yeah. Or if I had, you know, unlimited capital and, you know, the adoration of millions, you know, what would my free time activity be? I don't know.
Let's go with what you can do.
Like, I guess they're acting like hobbies and shit.
I guess.
Well, I do this.
Scoreport is a hobby. Okay.
It is to me.
Hayden, do you have a hobby?
I'd like to say hang gliding, but that's a complete lie.
I'm glad. Hang gliding. Is that a thing anymore?
People do that.
Wow.
I thought the big thing now was the wingsuits.
They do that too.
Base jumping. Isn't that what it's called?
Yes, it is. That's right. Yes.
Where they like jump off of mountains wearing these friggin' flying squirrel suits and are amazed that people die doing this. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You know what the latest craze is? Sticking your head into a running buzzsaw and people die doing it. I don't get it. Yeah. I play my favorite game. How many times can I put my fingers in the bandsaw? Oops.
Reminds me of that guy that jumped out of, the helicopter without a parachute and landed in the net. It was like that Red Bull thing. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
So nobody has a hobby.
So there's one time when I was a teenager, there was a job application, and it was in the time where you actually had to handwrite your job applications, and there was a section, and it said, what are your hobbies and interests?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, well, everyone puts reading and walking.
Sure.
You know, so you might as well put breathing and sleeping for whatever good that might be.
Hey, that's one of my favorite hobbies too.
So what I wrote was, and I was a teenager, and I wrote horse breaking.
Okay.
I got the interview,
you raped horses?
Horse breaking.
Oh,
breaking. Breaking.
We're like raking them again with the sharpened rake.
So they were going through my application in the face to face interview. And they put in, and again, I was a cocky little teenager. And they got to the bit where, you know, I put my hobbies and, hobbies and interests. And they looked at me and said, horse breaking. And because clearly I'm a spotty little teenage boy, and obviously I do not do horse breaking. And they said, what do you do? I said, oh, horse breaking. That's what I wrote. I'm sorry. That was a typo. I meant to say wind.
Oh, no.
I'm guessing you did not get the job.
I did, actually.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
So So let's flip the script. What for the benefit of our Facebook group? What mm-hmm. questions? What questions could we ask the group? And en masse, they can you know answer.
Oh. You know what I always love is the say, show me what's in your pocket. I always love those. Like, you know, people show their pocket knives and their lip balms or, you know, whatever. I love all of those posts.
Okay.
Right. Those are fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
The pocket dump.
Yeah, the pocket dump or the purse dump in my, well, the pump would take, you know, a week for me. But, yeah, those are fun. And also, I would also like to know people's other hobbies, you know, because, you know, the Squirrel Port is kind of heavy on guns and knives and politics and
I like photography. Sort of thing.
You like photography. That is one of your hobbies, Alan. You didn't bring that up.
Yes, it is.
But you are very good at photography, and you have lots of photography gear.
Yeah, I do.
Yes, you do.
Probably too much, but yeah.
Yeah.
And I know I've only seen a fraction of it.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
How's about what is in the boot of your car?
Oh, that's a good one.
That would be trunk for those of us in America.
In American, it's
thank you.
Trunk.
Look in the
trunk. That's an interesting one.
I don't.
That is a great.
I don't have a trunk, but I have a toolbox on the back of my truck. I guess that counts.
Yes, it counts.
Really don't. I have a hatchback, but I have an area like under the floor.
I drive a Grand Marquis, and it's wintertime, so we try to fill up the trunk.
Rita has a living room in her trunk.
I do.
Oh, that car is like a that's at least a four body trunk, at least.
We currently do not have bodies in the trunk.
But you could, and if you had to, I bet you could fit four in there easily.
Yeah, actually, when I bought the car. I looked at it and the guy was, you know, I was looking at it and I opened it up. I was like, wow. He's like, yeah, it's a three body trunk.
Oh, cool. They're thinking small. The Grand Marquis is at least a six or a seven.
Yeah, but you got to like stop chopping pieces to get six or seven in.
That's what Sawzalls are for.
It's not, Alan. They can't be contiguous at that point.
They can't be contiguous. Right. If it more, even more if you got a big industrial blender.
Oh Jesus!
Just put in a big drop cloth.
No frappe.
Put in a tarp to hold.
We
it
do
on.
Have a tarp.
There you go.
I have a tarp in my trunk too.
And you know, and some cat litter for the spills. You're set.
Just in case.
A little bleach. Yeah. Everybody's boy. Happy.
That's a good one, Hayden. What's in your trunk?
That is a good one. What's in the trunk?
Show us the
what
junk
is
in
what
your
is
trunk.
The junk in your trunk? That's
junk in your trunk. Be a new thing.
When I was in high school, I had a large car that was that I know for a fact would hold five people in the trunk. Because that's how we used to.
Did you actually have five people in the trunk?
Because that's how we used to go to the drive-in.
Oh.
I used to have all kinds of stuff in there, like 10 or 15 rolls of toilet paper, because you never know. Anyway.
Now I'm looking because my trunk was actually used in a photo shoot.
With bodies?
No, not with the miscellaneous stuff that's in my trunk. And I'm trying to remember which issue it was. Because you can actually see my actual honest to God trunk. Oh. So.
Hey, do you have anything good in your trunk?
Road flares.
So that's a good thing.
I'm sure those are illegal in England.
Yes.
Hmm. They never, are?
I've never actually... Actually, Jay, I have never seen them on sale in England.
Never.
Huh. I know, I can't think of... I just don't think of all the times I've gone through, you know, sort of, you know, Poundland or Halfords, which are, so Poundland is obviously like a dollar, you know, everything's a dollar sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And oh, Half
Poundland. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Got it.
That is a completely different connotation depending on. It sounds an awful lot like what the hell Harvey Weinstein's office.
Oh boy!
God, I'm going to hell.
Well, the me dun, the dun, me dun. Too is technically pound me too, isn't it?
That's right. Right, because that is not a hash. It's not a hashtag. It's a pound sign. All right. I can't find it, which is unfortunate, but
there was another thing. Oh, we're almost, hey, we're out of time.
Okay.
There was more stuff we wanted to talk about, but we ran out of time.
Yeah, well, there's always next week.
We've got next week, which will be a new year.
It'll be next year.
That's right. It'll be next year.
Right.
Wow. 2019, guys.
Yeah. This is the last show of the year.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh. Let's
talk about all the disappointing things about the future. Like, we're not actually living on the moon. That's what that was. Oh, crap.
Okay, Jay.
Sorry. Heard a loud crash earlier, and we were trying to figure out what it was. And something, a certificate fell off the wall, and now there's broken glass all over my printer. Yay!
That'll do it.
Yep, that was the noise. Anyway, so I've solved a mystery. Yay! My printer's filled with glass. Boo! I'm more of a printer's half full of glass kind of guy, but anyway. Part of me is like, if I just tip it up, it'll all fall behind the bureau and nobody will ever know. But I'm not going to do that because I'm an adult.
Pick it up and shake it into the trash.
Actually, I can take care of it. But
yes.
Anyway.
You're a grown-ass man. You can
grown
take
ass
care of your printer.
Man. I do not wear sweatpants in public.
Thank you.
That's
well,
my crusade. That is
well,
my...
it depends on the man wearing sweatpants.
Well, yeah. Jason Momoa, I'm sure, is fine, but... You know what? The people I see, the men I see wearing sweatpants in public, they ain't Jason Momoa.
Right. Correct. Me too.
They're more
there's
Jason.
Your tip for the day. Don't wear sweatpants in public.
Don't. Unless you are actively
courtesy working. Of the squirrel port.
That's right.
Well, do no stop
and the entire universe a favor. Of course,
don't
I'm
go to the library and send them for the reference desk.
Yep. Just the tax forms are in yet. Oh, you're coming into tax season, aren't you?
Thanks, Jay. Yes.
Oh, man.
Twitching now. She's like, wait, twitch.
Thanks.
Damn.
I get the nervous laughter when you start talking about tax season.
Tax season. Yes, but you know, Alan, you've probably gone through this. This year, I have to help my son with his taxes.
Oh, yeah, I did my daughter's.
Is he, because he worked a part-time job, so.
Yeah. I had to explain all that. My daughter's still pissed off at that FICA asshole.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of things.
So, she was very, she was real proud she did, because she's 18 now, and she went and got her oil changed in her car by herself.
Good for her.
And she went and got a flu shot by herself. And she goes, it was so nice not to have to depend on my mother for this. All right.
Independence is a wonderful thing.
Yep. So.
In 6 months, it's going to be the job of the United States Navy to teach my son it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's going to be a culture shock.
Less than 6 months, he ships out.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Yep.
I can't wait for the stories.
Oh yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be interesting.
What do you think? What life lesson do you think he'll be most surprised with?
Well, there's not a magic chore fairy that does his chores for him. That's, you know, claiming you didn't do that doesn't cut it when they know you did it. And
it probably doesn't even cut it even if you didn't do it.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of it is just teenage boy stuff. I mean, I recognize an awful lot of stuff.
They'll whip that out of him.
And that's just it. That's what they do. They're the experts at that.
Yep.
Now, and I think he will do very well
in the Navy.
That's right. He's looking forward to it. He keeps doing all the physical fitness requirements.
Oh, that's good. That's the worst part, actually.
Yeah.
If you roll into basic training not being able to do that stuff, at least you're in for a world of hurt.
Yeah, he's got that down cold. He's like in way better shape than I ever was, but that's not saying an awful lot. So.
Yeah, but you don't have to be in that great of a shape in the Navy. Not like he's joining the Marines.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's not wrong.
A Marine will never pass up the chance.
Of course, you know.
When you only need
a 30 on the ASFAB, you got to have something going. So.